Welcome, beautiful souls, to Shine On You, the podcast that dives deep into the realms of modern spirituality, the metaphysical, and the mystical. I'm your guide on this journey, Renee Novello. This is not just a podcast, it's a sanctuary for the open-minded, the curious, and those called to topics that may be, at times, a little out there. Through grounded, heart-centered conversations, we are here to support your next breakthrough into higher alignment and help illuminate the path, highlighting the threads of wisdom that connect us all. We are a community of kindred spirits, a space for belonging, connection, and shared wisdom. This is Shine On You, a podcast where the coastal breezes of Wilmington, North Carolina meet cosmic mysteries. Jump in and join us for conversations that will feel like sunshine for your soul. To follow me along on this journey, head over to my website at reneenovello.com or on Instagram at Vibe with Intuition. Now let's dive into the interview.
Hi, Esme.
Hi.
How is your energy today? How are you doing, lovely?
Everything is good. I'm doing good.
Yeah. Yeah, so you were
feeling a little stressed out about all the travel I've been doing.
I was going to say, I've been following you, and you've been a lot of places in a short period of time.
Yeah, celebrating my birthday is a long process. It's a month celebration. It's not just a day.
So when was your birthday?
On Sunday.
What was that, April?
14.
Oh, beautiful. Aries.
Aries. Fire.
Fire. I love that. What does your chart look like? What is your sun, moon?
Oh, I have no idea. I'll have to ask Christina about
that. Yeah.
She always gives me a rundown. I forget most things.
I understand.
Yeah, I go with the vibe. I go by the day.
I love that. So good. Yeah, you've been, and I immediately was magnetized to you and your creative expressions, your hats, the way that you taught macrame. I felt like I could do it.
Yeah.
It was such a beautiful experience. And then you went on a lot of travel and a lot of adventures. What's life been like since I saw you there?
We've been traveling a lot, so it's been busy, stressful, because I'm very much a person that's routine. You know, I need a routine. Okay. I need to have my everyday steps. I give myself a lot of goals daily, and that is making hats and designing them. It's a long process. And for me to get in a workflow, I need to be at home and have a routine. My house is to be clean. For me, if my house is not put together, my life is not put together.
I understand that. I am the same.
It's like I need to make my bed first thing in the morning when I wake up. I need to have all the dishes done. Vacuum, have four animals. So it's a lot. And finally, when I get in the work routine, I sit down and I focus for hours. But I have to do all this, you know, those steps. When I'm traveling, it takes me off that routine, and it's really hard to get back.
I get that.
So we just got back recently, and I've been struggling. So I've been really stressed about not being in my routine.
But I totally feel you. Everything you're saying, I'm like, yes, that's exactly the way I am, too. I really thrive in routine. And when I saw you traveling all over, I kind of got the sense like, oh, she's probably really free-spirited and doesn't necessarily need that. So it's really good that you clarified that, because
I try to do both. You know, it's a balance, you know, balance of travel, doing everything. But I internally get stressed out if I don't have a routine. I work with it. Yeah, you know, working out also helps to release some, you know, stress. And
was there anything on your travel this time that was, like, really profound? Or, I mean, you were in some really amazing places. Where were you?
Yeah, we went to Costa Rica first at the beginning of March for the Envision Festival. Mm-hmm. And that was amazing. Very eye-opening. There's a lot of workshops for self-improvement, you know, a lot of meditation, a lot of cacao ceremonies. It's just a lot of that. I was also with my family. My mom was there. So having that family time really... Mm-hmm. Really helps me get centered. You know, I don't know if you feel that way when you're with your blood related families. You feel almost like empowered. Mm-hmm. I get a lot of my inside power being with my family. So being around my aunt and my mom, I feel a completely different person. I feel like I'm on top of the world.
I love that.
And yeah, so the only reason I say this is because since we moved here to Wilmington, none of my family are here. You know, it's all my husband's family. So I struggle with not knowing that I don't have blood family near me. So yeah. It makes me sad sometimes, but I'm grateful that I have a great family through him.
I was going to ask you two things that you just touched on. How you landed in Wilmington.
Yeah, well, we lived in LA for a while, and that's where my husband and I met. We had my son, Avery, he's 5. And COVID happened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, LA was out of control. And, you know, some good things came out of it. We got out of it. We got out of there. We moved to Wilmington. And we actually ended up moving in a front beach home in Topsail Island.
Nice.
And it was beautiful. So good to be there. Zero social interactions. So we're like, we're out of here. We also experienced a hurricane. It was enough to scare us. Mm-hmm. And all the maintenance. I was like, okay, living
on the water,
uh-huh. It's a lot of work and a lot of maintenance to the house. So we decided to move to Wilmington. And we ended up here in a beautiful neighborhood with randomly all high school friends from my husband, too. Out of everywhere in here, we ended up where he has like 3 of them. So it's great. Yeah. And we all have little kids, so it worked out really great for us.
I love that. Yeah.
And I love Wilmington. There's a family. Everything is family-based.
You know? Yeah, there's
everywhere
a lot
you go, there's a lot of kids around, so it's
for
good.
Sure, for sure, for sure. And where is your roots from?
I was born in Texas. I grew up in Mexico. And when I was about 11 or 12, I went to L.A. We have a family house in Los Angeles. Mm. And I was there for middle school, and then went back to a military school in Mexico. And then I felt like coming back for college, so I did. I went back to Santa Monica College, and that's where my life started in the U.S. again.
Yeah. Wow, military school.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, that's pretty warrior, fierce.
You should see my drawers. They're very neatly full.
That's where that structure comes from.
Well, also from my mom.
Okay.
My mom was like a military mom, even though she wasn't in the military.
Okay.
She was very strict, very OCD, so I got all my crafting from her as well. She's always very creative, always making things out of anything she can. She makes everything beautiful.
I was going to ask you about what little you was like. And if you had that influence to be a creative and an artist early on?
Yeah, I think my creative side definitely developed from my mom. She's very creative. She's always making something. And I was always the only child that was interested in that. Mm. Compared to my brother and sister, I was the creative one. I was the one that paid attention in school. And so there's always a joke at the house that I'm the favorite child.
Because you and mom were on the same page.
Yeah, and she's very specific about the way letters look. Mm. Also, like her writing is perfect. It's very similar to each other. Like her letters match each, like the letter A's look the exact same. Like everything in her alphabet is just perfect. And when I was writing, I was having neat writing. So she liked that. And she ended up teaching me how to do all the business paperwork, her signature. And I was just teaching me to forge her signature when I was 12. And it was great.
Are you the oldest?
I'm the middle child. Yeah.
The middle and best.
Yes, exactly. Middle and best.
That's awesome. Always. That's awesome. So you're still really close to your mom, and your mom was in Costa Rica. She went to Costa Rica, or she lives there?
She was there in Costa Rica with us, and she lives in Mexico.
Yeah.
We still have our restaurant for a long time.
I love that. Yeah. Do you get to go back?
I haven't been back recently, but we do. I mean, we travel quite a bit, but Mexico, where I grew up, is not somewhere where we want to go like every year, but we are actually planning on doing a family trip maybe every 2 years or something.
That's so cool.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Just to visit my mom.
That feeling of nostalgia and to be in your roots and your culture, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, so Mexico has, life-giving.
Mexico has a lot of culture.
Oh, my gosh.
So much. And so it's really nice. And I was telling my husband I want to eventually move to Mexico, maybe for at least 6 months, so I can catch up back on my culture and my son to pick up on it. Because he's very unfamiliar with the Mexican culture and Spanish in general. So, yeah.
The city or the town of San Miguel?
San Miguel Allende.
Yes. Yeah. The way you said it. So
I've never been, but I've heard beautiful things.
I'm obsessed with the Instagram account. It is so picturesque and gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really... like obsess about how the colors and the vibrancy and
No, Mexico is beautiful. It has so many beautiful places. I mean, the culture just makes it somewhere even more beautiful. There's actually, now that I'm thinking about it, a lot of my inspiration to, for example, I was a local artisan for West Elm in LA when I first started doing macrame in 2016. And I think I was looking always back at all the influences from the Mayans and the ruins and stuff. Like every time we went to the pyramids, which I did a lot when I was little, there's always little vendors that have all these beautiful handmade embroidery and the colors. And I was inspired by that a lot when I was little to make my own crafts. And I would try to replicate stuff like that with like paper and other things instead of embroidery. And later on when I did macrame, I was trying to add colors and do certain things that was basically, I had in my mind always the culture and like all the art from Mexico.
The influence of that. That's so special. I have chills. That is so special to be able to have seen that firsthand and have that be influencing your design work. So when did you get into doing macrame?
I started doing macrame in 2016. Yeah, and it was one of those things. I saw a friend do a macrame plant hanger. It wasn't really macrame. It was more like tie knots. And it was just a very simple design. And I was just struck. I need to learn how to make that. And I remember just buying some rope and looking at a macrame video on YouTube. And I was just hooked instantly. And I was like a natural. I knew all the knots just from looking at them. I was like, how do I know these things? It comes from friendship bracelets. Ah, it's the same. It's the same idea.
I love doing those. That was such a happy memory. Yeah, spending hours and hours braiding.
I feel like everybody did it. And this is why when I teach macrame workshops, I'm always like, think about the friendship bracelets you used to do when you were young. Like, it's the exact same thing.
Yeah, but and just it makes a larger it easier. Scale.
Because you're using larger pieces of rope, but it's basically the same idea.
Yes, and the tactile experience of it. I struggled a little bit. You were so patient with me. You kept having to come over and like, oh, no, honey, like, let me help you. I'm like, thank goodness you are so hands-on because I would have been lost.
No, I have to be like that. I just, my focus when I do workshops is making everybody feel comfortable, and you are capable of doing it. You know, and I have to, I feel like when I do workshops, I have to boost people's confidence in when they're doing a craft, because it's not about getting frustrated. I've seen people in the past get so frustrated where they're like, well, I just don't want to do it anymore. Yeah. And I'm like, why don't I sit with you and watch me do it and follow my hands? And it's all about finger placement, how you wrap the rope. And it's like, just try to have fun. And it doesn't matter if the knot's not perfect. Life is not perfect. Mm-hmm. Just let it go with the flow. The plant hanger is going to look beautiful.
It was very forgiving, I will say.
Yes, it is.
I love that. I have it hanging in my plant room, and it's beautiful. And it's something you can be proud of, that you have your own.
I love to see it.
Yeah. How did you get into doing it professionally then?
So when I started macrame, I started not doing, I did one big wall hanging, and it was big. I mean, it was probably 4 feet or 5 feet by like 9 feet. It was a big tapestry. And I made it for my house, but I brought it to an event. And in that event, I was having just dream catchers with macrame. But it wasn't fully macrame. It was just like dream catchers with rope hanging and like yarn and things. I was just stepping into my creative side. And somebody asked me if I could have all of my dream catchers placed in almost like an art display way, but it was in Ava Kinney in Venice Beach in a hair salon. And she asked me to place them all around as a display because they feature different artists every month. And they had a plaque and everything. And I mean, I sold so many of them. And that's how it just started. They were like, just have these. And I was making them for fun. Yeah. I was teaching like kids how to make little dream catchers out of nature with like leaves. And we'll go and find feathers by the beach and things like that. So it was just something I picked up on and I dove in right away, you know. And I was really enjoying it. I didn't feel like it was work or I was doing it to sell. It was more like I'm doing this because I enjoy doing it. And I don't know.
That's just such a sweet spot to be in when you don't feel like you are like what every creative's dream, right? Like you can be doing something that you creatively are inspired by. Yeah. And it's also providing you with income.
The income was definitely good, but I wasn't interested almost in selling. I will give a lot of my stuff away for free. Yeah. I was like, oh, you like it? You can have it for free. Aww. And I was like, oh, my God. My husband was like, what are you doing? You're supposed to be selling. I was like, I know, but I just don't feel like this. I didn't make this to sell it. I made this because I enjoy doing it. And I was like, I just want to give it. I want to give it to somebody. Yeah. And I was like, and if they like it and I see they're hesitating because they don't have the money, I'll gift it to them. It's like, I don't feel like I need the money enough. And I was like, everything that, you know, when you give things, everything comes back to you a thousandfold. I'm not sure what the saying is. Like,
I get that.
But yeah. Anyway, so when I did that, the Dreamcatchers, I had an event and I had my tapestry and there was an interior designer who approached me and she said, are you selling this piece? She said, I have a very, I don't remember how she said it. It's like classified client or something like that. It was like a, it was a big secret, deal. And it's like she's in the Malibu homes and the, you know, the mountains. And she said, this is the perfect piece for the room that I'm looking for. And I was like, okay. And she's like, how much is it? And I was like, well, it's $700 if I wanted to sell it. Just adding all the time that took me and materials. And I mean, it was a big piece. Any piece like that, even then, would sell like $2,500 or something. And she was like, okay, we're going to do it for $1,200. You're going to take $1,200 and I'm going to sell them to them. For double that. And I was like, whoa, okay.
Well, thank you. Yeah,
I was like, thank you for telling me all that. I was like, I agree. We shook hands.
Pleasure doing business with you.
And I was like, okay, $1,200. And that felt so good. That was the moment I was like, oh my gosh, I can really turn this into a business. And of course, I did some plant hangers. And at that time, I started getting into the creative group, like a creative community, like a community of creatives. In LA, and there were so many creatives in there. And I mean, I was in like the mecca of the creatives, you know, and I luckily placed myself in there. And I started meeting a lot of people, and one thing led to another. I ended up doing a pop-up at West Elm in Santa Monica, and they loved my product so much. They asked me if they could sell my plant hangers at their store. And then that led to adding my product to other stores around LA. So, like, I think it was one in Hollywood, and it was Santa Monica, Hollywood, and I don't remember what the other one is. But there were three stores that I was selling, and they had me back-to-back go and do pop-up events and also teach macrame. And every time I work with them with macrame workshops, they would provide the most incredible experience. I mean, Wasson was a very, like, really, really good company to work with. They would provide everything that I could think of.
Yeah.
Cheese boards and wine and... they will make the experience great. I ended up meeting a lot of actors, like really hot, like
fun,
really cool people too through all those events.
So your macrame is probably hanging in some famous people's homes right now.
Yeah, they are.
You're like, yes, in fact, they are.
Yeah, no, I did a lot of stuff. I never even had the chance to put them online because I was making them to as a request. I was like, okay, and I started getting more into photography, so I started waking up that other creative side of me was like photography and product placement and, you know, editing pictures. And I started really getting to that. So then I started really waking it up, everything inside me, where it was, I wanted to learn everything. And embroidery, painting, I wanted to do it all to incorporate everything into macrame. And, yeah, so.
As an artist, gotta be a good feeling because, I mean, I think – I don't consider myself necessarily an artist, but I'm a creative person. But I would say, like, when you get that validation and then the financial exchange for your creation and your energy and things and having that in the world has got to be so fulfilling.
It is. It is very fulfilling.
I love that.
Yeah, it's one of those things that when you get validation for your work, it just inspires you to do more and continue to learn more in your field. I've seen some people just get driven by money and they stop making things out of love and out of passion. And the product gets boring. You know, nobody wants boring product, and you can't expect to sell it when you're not putting yourself in it. For me, making things, I fully go with my intuition. Yeah. I've always designed and created things out of intuition. I don't look at designs. I don't follow patterns. I just dive in wherever it takes me, and that's how my product ends up. And same with my hats. I just, there's something new that I started doing. And I
do. So the hats are, when did you start creating hats?
My hats are December.
So fairly new.
Very new. Yeah, it's like 5 months old.
They're gorgeous, obviously. Thank you for bringing one today. And it actually is in the same color tone that I'm wearing. I'm like, I feel like our higher selves had a conversation about this. And I was like, bring me a hat.
You know, it's so funny. I've had a conversation with Christina, the Blonde Priestess, about how lately, for many years, actually, I want to say, I've been practicing my intuition a lot. And lately, I've been focusing a lot more. I think I forgot for a while what it was like to be in tune with yourself and your intuition. And when I started doing hats again, I was like, you know, I'm going to do the designs according to how I feel, how everything is going, and how I see the person. So when I create a hat for somebody, I look at the person, I ask them for their birth date and their zodiac sign, and I embroider things that are related to the person, but the crystals and where I place things, it's more intuitively. Like, I just do that. But intuition-wise, I had a really interesting thing happen lately. I was creating a hat for a businesswoman here in Wilmington. And I went to the store the night before to the crystal store, and I saw these macaw feathers. And I picked up one thinking, oh, my gosh, I've been really wanting a macaw feather, but I don't know if I want to put it in my hat. But I'm going to get it. So I got it, finished the hat. The customer came to my house, to my studio, got it for her. And I said, you know, I have this feather that I just got, and I don't know why I feel like I need to give it to you, like put it in your hat, and it looks beautiful. I already tried it on. I was like, you want to see it? And she's like, yeah, of course, I would love it. At the very end of the day, before she went there, she's like, I actually have something interesting to say to you about this macaw feather. I feel like everything came back to me in a way. And I was like, well, what happened? She said, my dad used to raise, what is it called, macaw? Her and her dad were in Costa Rica or somewhere. Something happened where she got a cut from a macaw that landed on her or something. And it was like a sign for her. Like, what? Something had to do with the macaw. I forgot exactly what the full story was. I think the racing part was the store. The lady at the store, she said her dad raised, takes care of macaws. And that's how she gets feathers. That's where I got confused. But she said she had a scar from a macaw. And then when I gave her the macaw feather, she said she was like reliving all that experience, because for her it was a very meaningful experience. The fact that this came back around, I was like, oh, well, it's meant to be.
I picked up on that.
I was like, I knew somehow that I needed to get this for you. So it was, one of those things.
Yeah.
Been a lot of things like that that's happened.
I love that when there's those nods of synchronicities and things like that. Like, even today when you're like, oh, I have an extra hat. I'm like, I was hoping you'd say that.
There's a lot of things like that I've been, and I was like, as I was talking to Christina, it's like, I've been doing random things for no reason, what I believe is for no reason,
right?
But I still do it because I try to listen to my intuition. Why am I feeling that I need to grab that? I don't second guess it. I'm like, okay, that was my gut telling me to do something. I'm just going to do it. And then it ends up working out.
Yeah.
Not for me, maybe for somebody else, but It's been like that, and I love that feeling, staying in tune with yourself.
Exactly. And then I feel like it's a muscle that builds upon itself, because once you recognize that, even if you just consciously take a second to be like, I got you, I see you, you know, like I feel that, and when it's affirmed to you, it really like creates this muscle that keeps more things coming back to you in your orbit from your intuition.
Absolutely.
It's so powerful that way. It's so powerful that way. So the transition after you were working professionally, really, I love that story so much that you shared about the macrame and how that came to be.
Yeah.
And then did you end up moving here? Is that kind of what ended up?
So 2016, then 2020 is when COVID happened, right? So I ended up putting everything in pause. I had my rope was in boxes for like a whole year. When I got to Topsail Island, I opened some boxes and I bought new rope because I didn't want to open all the boxes. I had so many for moving from California. And I ended up doing all the pieces, but I realized that the market for macrame here in North Carolina wasn't there yet. You know, it was just nobody really was interested in macrame wall hangings. My pricing wasn't right. Like, it wasn't working out for people here. So I was like, okay, you know, this is probably a sign to just move on from this, and this is time to stop it. I left it on a good note, and I just kind of left it like that. But then when I moved to Wilmington, I was going to this CrossFit gym and I met Carolini, a really good friend of mine now. And she was like, oh my gosh, I would love for you to teach a workshop with me and my friends. And I was like, oh, workshops. You know, I hadn't thought about it in a while. And I was like, oh, that would be amazing to do a workshop. So I taught a workshop that I hadn't taught before. And it was a large macrame wall hanging. And I was like, we need about 5 hours for this workshop, which it went for like six. It was such a good feeling to just jump back and teach and see the people. At first, they were like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. It doesn't look like anything. But when they saw it at the end, what they had just made, that feeling, I feel it all. You know, I absorb that. I'm like, oh, my, it's such a good feeling to have happy customers, to have people just really see what they created and just love what they just made. And the fact that I provided that experience. Mm-hmm. It's really satisfying.
Absolutely.
So I love that. So I was like, okay, I'm going to start workshops again instead of selling product. Mm-hmm. So that kind of worked out better for me. So I started doing macrame plant hangers and things. And I haven't promoted them a lot just because it is a lot of work. Yeah. And being at home and having a child and a lot of animals, it kind of takes my time, most of my time.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
So I get that. I find it hard for me to even focus on myself sometimes.
I was going to say, because I feel like even when you were sharing at the beginning about, you know, I appreciate what you were saying about needing kind of a clean space and an organized environment before you can get into that creative zone, because I too feel that too. Like I can't focus if there's things that are needing to be tended to in my home. Like, I'm in such rhythm with my home and the kids that I have and my husband and even the plants and the animals and everything. I'm like, if everybody is in rhythm and they're tended to, then I can focus and drop in to more of a creative space. So I really related to what you were saying about that. And you have a little one, which I have now graduated into the older child zone. How do you balance that for yourself where you, because you get fed from your creativity, right? Like it makes you probably a better mom and a better person, right?
Yeah.
How do you balance that with being your beautiful child?
Well, it helps that he goes to school full time.
Yep, does.
That is the one thing that I'm so grateful for, that we found a great school and he loves it there. So to me, it's like when you have a child that loves their school and they love where they are, it makes us feel good because we know they're safe, they're having a good time. And we're not wasting our time or money with them being there. I was definitely struggling at first because, you know, I'm so used to him being around me. And I love having him around me. He loves being around us, too.
Yeah, he was at the workshop that we did.
Yeah, he came
in. A little bright light of a being that came in. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
He's a whole little style himself. He has his own thing going. But, yeah, he inspires me a lot, too. Mm-hmm. Like he has all these cute little ideas as well. He makes me craft with him. Yes. He's going to be a crafter as well. I think I influenced him plenty. The balance that I have to look for also when I'm at home and finding time to do my hats and everything, it really just comes down to how clean is my house? How clean? Is it clean enough where I can now relax and sit down and work? But how do I find the balance? My balance really just comes from focusing more on me, mm-hmm. like my self-care. When I'm focused on my self-care, I go and get facials, I get my nails done. I feel so good. Then everything starts kind of falling into place. I used to not be a big believer of self-care. Mm-hmm. I was always like, because I was raised, my mom was really tough and always going. And I never really learned how to go weekly or monthly to get my nails done, a pedicure, a manicure, facials. Mm-hmm. My mom was never about that. So when I started focusing on that at the beginning of this year, specifically, I started going strong in self-care and self-love. I started noticing a big difference where I was able to balance more of my time. And I think it just narrows down on how I was feeling inside.
I get that.
It was just all that. If I was good inside, everything was kind of falling in place. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm still working towards finding the balance on all that.
I know. And I think balance is such like kind of a misleading word because like, mm-hmm. you're always adjusting to what's going on in your environment. Like, it's never really balanced, per se, right?
Yeah, that's how I feel.
It's more like harmony. I like to look at it as harmony. Like, how do you create harmony within yourself? Exactly. And then I think that is so important, too, because as the mom, right, like, you at least in the way that my family is, like, I'm kind of that really important part of the ecosystem that however I'm doing is really going to affect everybody else in the house, right? So being well tended to and taking care of yourself is definitely, I feel that. It's like,
oh, absolutely.
Not just frivolous, it's important.
What's that saying? Happy wife,
yeah,
happy life?
That, yeah.
I'll go with that. New slogan.
Just kidding. Yes, so good. You were going to tell me your slogan for your business.
I need to look it up. I don't remember.
You don't remember now? I threw you off.
I think it's, oh my gosh.
And this is for your
hat
business?
It's such a good one.
For your hat business?
Yeah, it's for your hat business. I just, like I was mentioning to you earlier, I just got my new logo and everything and the slogan in there. And it's so funny. This office reminds me of my new business card and everything. It's just, it's very like neutral and soft colors, very, very, definitely very feminine. But yeah, I'm really excited.
That's beautiful.
Really excited to release.
And you were telling me before we got started that you haven't been able to really get orders out on Etsy because there's so much demand in person or through like referrals and so forth that you're.
Yeah. The demand for my hats are high right now. Everything I make, I sell right away. I had posted. I was like, okay, I'm going to hold some hats, have a photo shoot, and then, or do some pictures, put them on Instagram, put them on my Etsy store, and then get some revenue going online. But I had to take all the stuff out of Etsy because I sold all my hats. Everything was just... It's a good thing.
Good
thing.
Good problem
to
have.
I can't keep up with my demand right now. I've had a friend that asked me to put my hats in a store, and I have met multiple people also that are like, hey, bring some hats and we'll sell them here. I can't keep up the demand. So I just placed a large order. Actually, I got all the hats, and I've been working on some of them. And they're looking amazing, but I can't post anything online because somebody will claim it. So I have to make some to put in some stores, and at least I think that will give me some more exposure to other kind of people, like other customers, different parts of town. So I'm hoping for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you'll get there for sure. Yeah, and this is just a jumping in point, which is really good that you have more business than you can handle as a new branch of your already creative, entrepreneurial business and so forth. Is when you're actually working with the hats and creating them, do you just in the moment feel into like, okay, I want to do this sort of feeling, or are you doing a lot of custom like for that person?
So I do a lot of custom stuff, but I focus on doing things on the go. Mm-hmm. So I sit down, I'm getting in my workflow, and the first thing I do is lay out all the materials that I have. Everything, I buy things constantly. I'm constantly buying charms and new chains and new leather and all that stuff. Before I start, I lay everything out, and I grab the hats, I place a few down in front of me. I turn on the camera, I turn on these things, and I start grabbing things. I start putting them in the hat, see what looks best. And I don't necessarily, like, plan it out, but I try things out. And then sewing it together, I'm like, okay, well, this is not going to work, and I want to put this on. So I kind of change everything back and forth. And some of the hats I do waves, some of the hats I do mountains. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's a pretty good balance. There's somebody that's going to love the mountains, somebody's going to love the ocean.
Exactly.
So it works out really well.
Yeah, I love the balance of elements that you use.
Yeah. So I do that. The embroidery, I add crystals, I add charms, I add leather accents. Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of different things. And when I see other makers that have specific things, I sometimes buy stuff from other makers to add to my hats, too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I think this piece right here.
Oh, is it?
It's a pine cone.
Oh, it's a pine cone?
With an African opal. And, yeah, so this, sorry. I'm more into, like, the white stones that are shiny. Mm-hmm. So I saw that from a maker and who also works at our bow club. He was helping us, and then we found him at this event. And I got this to support him, but he told me it was for hats, and I was like, oh my gosh, is this meant to be?
Totally.
So I bought a few of them, and this is the only one I've used so far, but I love it.
I love it too.
It's kind of bulky up there, but to me, it's like it makes it more special because it's almost like a collaboration of somebody else's work and mine.
Yes.
So I really like it. I'm not the kind of person that just say like I made it all. No, I like to incorporate other people. I love collaborations because I like people to do their thing with me. I feel like I learned more about the crafting world when I'm next to somebody else doing it too.
Yeah. Inspiring that. Yeah, I'm so glad this podcast is in person because your jewelry and is it a holster? that you're wearing?
It's a holster, yeah.
It's got the most gorgeous stones on it. And I'm like taking it all in. Yeah. And this, if I was online right now, I don't think I'd get the same effect. I love doing things in person now. It's like I can be in your energy and I can also take it all in. And it's so beautiful. Yeah, no, it's so beautiful. In terms of like other creatives that maybe want to get into being more of an entrepreneur, do you have any lessons or words of wisdom from your experience?
I have so many friends in the past that have told me, oh my gosh, I love doing this. And I will be their number one motivator to start their business. I'm always pushing people, if they're creative, if they love doing something, if you want, I mean, do something out of passion, out of love, start it, do it, go with it. If revenue comes out of it, dive into it more and start exploring other things. For when I started my business, I didn't just start with, you know, my passion. I started expanding my knowledge in other areas, social media, photography, all those things. Now that when you own a small business, you have to have multiple prerequisites on how to, like, start your own thing. Just knowing how to do everything.
Yeah.
Picture editing, all that stuff. Otherwise, it's really hard to start a business because you kind of need to learn those things.
But the good news is you can, right? Like, now we're in a time where you can literally Google and YouTube and talk to people. And people are so, like you, so generous with their knowing and offering to help.
And normally when I see somebody that they want to start their own business, I'm like, okay, if you want to start selling on Etsy, start on Etsy. Look at local pop-up shops or stores that are doing pop-ups. Sign up for that. Start giving it to friends that are more into social media. Mm-hmm. Start promoting your stuff. It's almost like you have to find a way to do it. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just do something and expect to sell. You got to have the passion. You have to constantly sell your product as part of you. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's why I'm like, I was today for the podcast, like, do I wear a hat? I was like, of course I have to wear a hat.
If you walked in without a hat, I would have said, you need to go get a hat.
Come back in 10 minutes.
Come back.
I'll be back.
That's so funny.
I was even thinking, I was like, should I walk in here with like a full box full of hats? I was like, I'm just going to bring a second just in case I need to change a hat. But it worked out perfect. And it looks amazing on you. That color is your color.
I know. I think I'm going to be ordering a hat. And I have a little bit of, for anyone listening that has this too, I have a bit of hat insecurity where sometimes I feel like I don't, you know, like people are like, I don't know if I have a hat head or like, because you kind of have to carry your head tall. You have to lift your chin and walk with authority when you're wearing a hat. You can't be like hiding it, right?
Oh, yeah. And I always say like when you wear a hat, you become a vibe because everything you put around the hat is just like, it's like an expression. You know, when you wear a hat, you're expressing yourself in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the style you get and the way you look when you have a hat. It's like, you have to be a confident person.
You do.
To wear a hat and to style yourself. Mm-hmm. And it makes you feel so good. And sometimes, even when I dress up and put my hat and like my caftans and all my jewelry, is this really who I am? Like, yeah, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. Why I'm always afraid of not being who I am and not dressing up and putting myself where I want to be and how I want to be portrayed as or like, you know? And the hats have definitely pushed that for me. I'm like, okay, wearing a hat is a vibe. It's self-expression. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy it. And it's something that I love doing that for people, too.
Yes.
Because sometimes, like, for example, you look like that's your vibe. You know, the hat looks so good on you.
How am I doing? I feel like it's so beautiful.
It's so good.
It does feel special. And it makes you feel like you're this sense of, like, confidence and self-worth. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I wear sweatpants a lot, though. So I don't know if I can pull off a hat and sweatpants. That's maybe another level of confidence.
You know, I wear a lot of loungy place like stuff at home or daily leggings and stuff.
Yeah.
But sometimes I'll wear like a workout outfit and then I'll throw a caftan, throw a hat, and I was like, oh, that's a vibe.
It is.
I'm going.
It's so.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like the hat really changes the game.
It's really a game changer. I think everyone needs a really good quality hat that's like. Yeah, it's a creative expression.
It is. Sure. It is.
Yeah, so I was wondering, what are you most excited about right now? I mean, I think I have a sense of this, but in terms of your work and what's next?
what I'm most excited about right now, I think it's really expanding my business, focusing more on me, mm-hmm. you know, self-love, self-care, everything after that falls right into place. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm excited just to have good balance in my life. I really want to get more in my work routine, so I'm going to definitely work mm-hmm. Thursday, but I'm really excited about the next phase of, so the new business I'm rebranding, not rebranding quite, but I'm starting a solid line for my hats, and it's, I call it Hatsified. Mm. And I was like, okay, Hatsified. It sounds, it's one word. It's,
that's what you did to me today. You Hatsified me.
I Hatsified you, exactly. And I was trying to find out hashtags and like, how do I combine Hatsified with like everything? I was like, everything. You just got Hatsified. Hashtag, you being Hatsified. I don't know. All those things. All those silly things. So I was like, I was trying to find a good name for it. And I feel like Hatsified did it for me. I was like, okay. And I did consider Hatsify, but that was taken. Somebody has an account on Instagram. So I was like, I know. I need to do something super original. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Hatsified. And, oh, I'm sorry. My slogan. Where style meets expression.
Where style meets expression.
Mm. Yeah, so outside your hat. Yeah. And you get to express yourself.
It's authentic expression, too. Exactly. It's like, I can feel that you pick up on the essence of the person.
Yeah.
I love this chance to get to know you and have you give me your attention and the audience's attention in this one-on-one kind of format is really so special because I know you have a lot of things that you probably could be doing right now, like creating, and I totally...
Cleaning
your house to create. So I totally, totally, you know, really honor you for taking the time to be here today. And I appreciate you. I'm so excited to see everyone Hatsified. And yeah, and tell people where they can find you and your work right now.
All right. So I did get the website. It's Hatsified.com. I started my Etsy shop, which is Hatsified. Instagram at Hatsified, and my main page is Ismay_design, and that's where mostly I post all my stuff right now. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I just got my logo, everything delivered yesterday, so I'm working on launching my Hatsified account full on.
This is perfect.
With the new hats that I'm designing, if I can keep up with the demand. But yeah. I'm going to definitely try to post everything I've made so far, so you know it's easier for people to see what I make.
So excited for you.
Come in for a hat.
Yeah, we'll put it all on the show notes so everyone can click through and find you and your beautiful work.
Thank you.
You are such a generous and beautiful soul, and I love this. Thank you so much for being here.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.